I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Speed City with John Massengill, Les Kaiser, and Jonathan Green. It's the fastest hour on the radio, Speed City.
Good evening, gearheads. Welcome to Speed City. This is John Massengill. I'm sitting in the studio tonight with Mr. Les Kaiser. How's it going, man?
Man, doing all right. Doing all right.
You're doing all right. You spent the whole weekend at Circuit of the Americas, and we'll talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Jonathan Green is not in the studio tonight. He is out at Sebring.
Oh, no!
I was about to say, it's a mayhem-free environment.
Yeah, he's out at Sebring for the Trans Am event. He's out there doing all sorts of commentary work, and I think
you ever been to Sebring?
I have not.
Can we get like a field trip? Go to Sebring next year, maybe.
I think that's a great idea.
Maybe even do the 24-hour.
I'll drive the bus. There you go. That too.
Yeah.
Let's just spend the first few weeks of the next season in Florida next year.
Our wives won't miss us.
It's a vacation for them. Hey, let me talk about what we got on the show tonight, because we are going to talk all about Formula One testing is probably the bulk of what we're going to talk about tonight, because it's done. The massive 6 days that they get. It's only 6 days, man.
That's a
all the billions of dollars that are involved in that sport in 6 days of testing.
What do you think of that? Is that I kind of understand, okay, because right now it's all about budgets and limiting it, but I don't know.
I'm a bit mixed on this. How many Grand Prix worth of laps is it? It's like 13.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess that's, it just seems like not enough. Instinctively, there should be more times during the year. Like you get to go test, and you get, a couple weeks in between or a week in between to go do more development, do some more research.
Do it again.
And then do it again. I think that's the way it was to some degree in the past. So, that's a big thing.
Remember when Ferrari put that Turbo 6 into one of their street cars and ran it for the testing of the engine management?
Yeah.
There's ways around this. We were thinking about putting it on the street.
Yeah. Well, to answer your question, I wish there was a little more, but I mean, it seems to be working, especially this year, man. The overriding theme probably was the fact that everybody seemed reliable. I mean, there was tons of laps by everybody. I guess Haas had the least laps, but yeah, we'll talk all about that. But we're going to talk about Formula One testing the bulk of it, but we're going to talk about the Netflix Drive to Survive Season 2. It's out.
Yeah.
In case you've been living under a rock and didn't realize that it's going again. And we're going to talk a little bit about the coronavirus, how it's affecting motorsports already. It's already affected Formula One and now MotoGP. We're going to talk about that. And
That's the reason I drink Circle beer. Corona-free.
No. You're supposed to be drinking Corona to build your immunity.
Was that Chris Layton?
You need to build your immunity? Okay. I didn't get a drum roll.
That's terrible.
Yeah, you get Charles Barkley.
There you go. That's appropriate. What else? That, I mean, those are the biggest things we're going to talk about. We're talking about the Carrera of the Americas, which is what you were at this weekend at Circuit of the Americas.
I was, you know, useless for anything else. Absolutely in the element.
Oh, yeah. Loving You're surrounded by 911s. Yeah.
Everything imaginable Porsche over, you know, decades, from the classics to the modern modern cup cars out there.
Yeah, were there all the way up to
Kelly Moss was the 919 out there with RSR, some of theirs. Not the 919, okay. But Kelly Moss was out there with their team and had fun, got to eat lunch with that crowd. It was
that's cool.
Good, interesting, great weekend, whether you're into the new, the old, or all the above.
Oh, there's a couple of Formula E stories I want to talk about, and I know that you talked... Oh, yeah, Sophia Flores. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, but let's jump right in and talk about... I want to start with the Netflix Drive to Survive, because season two started, I guess, was it Friday? Yeah, I think it was Friday, and I've watched the first two episodes.
I watched the first.
Right. Yeah, and the first was good. I was excited. There was nothing revolutionary. The second episode was, and we're not going to do any spoiler alert, so promise that. Just a little overview, but the second episode was all about the Haas F1 season last year. You know, the big hopes for the year, the big start. You know, they started by being best of the rest last year in Australia with Kevin Magnussen.
Right.
And big hopes. And, of course, we all know how it ended up. But they cover that really, really in depth. I mean, that first show is most – I mean, that second episode two is mostly about the Haas F1 team. And, in fact, if you did like – if you liked Gunther Steiner's colorful language last year – you're going to really like episode two, because I would guess there's 25 F-bombs from Gunther in episode two. So, yeah, I will give one spoiler, because F1 tweeted this. He's standing there talking, and he drops a couple of F-bombs, or like three in a row, and he says, they'll cut that out.
No, they won't.
They did not cut that out. So,
welcome back, Gene. You got to deal with Gunther Steiner.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, they had a lot of Gene Haas in there. Yeah. They had some really good content with Gene Haas and Gunther together, Gunther Steiner. So, yeah.
I just find those personalities so opposite in some ways, yet so intent and focus on the strategy and the business of racing in others. It almost seems like an oddball couple, you know, could do a TV series
Gene and Gunther. It kind of does, doesn't it? It kind of does. But the one thing I noticed about Gene Haas is he is a cool cookie, man. He is just, you know... He doesn't get overly excited, and he doesn't get emotional. Gunther is obviously gets a little bit emotional.
Gunther does.
It was really good. But, you know, I want to just touch on something we've touched on before, and it has been a lot of coverage about this in general, but I think that this is by far the best marketing dollars. I don't really know what the relationship is, how this got paid for and all that exactly. I don't know about sponsorships or whatever, but... It has been, in my opinion, the best dollars that FOM has spent, Liberty Media has spent, at least for the United States. But it's apparently it's huge all over the world. I don't know the stats.
Right. I'm with you on that. I can't say that I recognized any obvious marketing. You know, you didn't have advertisers in it. You know, Mother's wasn't tuned in, and Mother's Polish wasn't paying for it.
Yeah.
But... I think it's really good, and I've talked to a few folks. In fact, I've turned a lot of folks to go check it out. Ford versus Ferrari, I will say, I've heard from more people that had no interest in motorsports or marginal interest in it that have seen that movie, and now they want to learn more about this. And the next thing I did when they told me that, I said, go watch the 2018 season of this, because the 2019 is about to come out, and here we are this week with 19 out. And so I'm really encouraging that to others, and I hope you folks will be my disciples and recruit a new congregation into it. Bring them into that. I just think that series is an excellent series to introduce them to the teams, the personalities that are around. And, you know, quite honestly, as I was speaking to one lady, I said, you know, how many sports teams do you follow that you don't know the background? You don't know more about their players or their coach, or, you know, you know something about it. You don't just, you know, randomly turn on a team and decide that's who you're going for. That's got to be an anomaly in the world if it happens.
You know, there's been, Jonathan's talked about this, but there's been shows on the NFL behind the scenes, Hard Knocks or whatever it was called. But this was so good behind the scenes. You know, we've been to lots of Grand Prix now, and we get pretty good access, you know, and there's so much that we'll never see that no one sees. I mean, the lunch between Gene Haas and Gunther Steiner,
yeah,
nobody sees that. And, you know, so, I mean, there's so much insider stuff that it is, I mean, I loved it. I just, it was, you know, borderline religious experience for me.
Yeah, it is.
It was so good. But and I've had lots of friends that are not into F1 that have told me they've watched it and they're really looking forward to season two. And now they want to watch the races because they want to fill in the blanks. So it's kind of the opposite of where we've been coming from.
Sure.
You know, we know all the racing, but now we know some of the backstory. Well, they know the backstory. They want to watch the racing and see what happens.
You bet. And
we've done so many movies lately.
Yeah.
Think about it. We started with Gentleman Driver last year, Willie T. Ribbs with Uppity and of course,
Ford versus Ferrari.
It's been, you know, it goes to show that Hollywood and everybody else thinks that motorsports is an exciting thing anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Willie T. Ribbs, you know, wasn't, you know, I'll say, you know, Ford versus Ferrari, Rush.
Yeah. Forgot about Rush.
Those in that approach to motorsports were kind of sexy and cool and all of that. Willie T. Ribbs was very documentary and very much a sign of the times and the obstacles that he faced. And so that's something else. Oh, by the way, congrats, Theo Ribbs, on winning that Sunol championship over in Florida.
Oh, that's Willie's son.
He's
shooting.
Shooting clay champion. So Seminole champion.
Yeah, and we talked about, I think we mentioned this, but congrats to Willie because we had him on the show promoting the movie, talking all about the movie, but it wasn't out on Netflix then. And now it's out on Netflix, and it was doing great.
One of the top trending shows for
a few days. So, yeah, that was cool. But, yeah, the Netflix series is a fantastically produced piece of film. So it's not just, you know, not just that great access, not just, you know, the fact that our sport's being covered, but it's been done really, really, really well. So the production value has been great.
I remember watching the 18 series, the 18 season.
Yeah.
And
season one of Drive to Survive.
Seeing things that explained things that we didn't understand at the time.
Yeah.
And it gave even us, you know, I mean, we have privileged access, you know, especially to Haas and a few of the others, but it was great to see some information. It's like, okay, that adds a little more clarity to what was going on, even with what we had the opportunity to see ourselves.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. All right, well, let's go ahead and take a break. Hey, if you want to give us a call tonight, we're going to be talking all about the F1 testing and some things. The number is 512-643-LIVE, 512-643-5483. Love to hear from you. We're going to go ahead and take a break. We'll be back after these messages.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built.
Ducati.
Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives, only water, malt, hops, and yeast, and absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane, open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Talk 1370.
What's up? This is Bilko, freestyle motocross rider with the Nitro Circus, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
All right, welcome back to the show. Let's get into F1 testing. So we just finished up 6 days of testing at Barcelona. Pretty good weather. It was cool some days. We had a little rain on day five, I think it was, five of six. You know, 3 days the week before, 3 days this week. This past week, and I think I touched on it at the top of the show, but overall, probably the biggest takeaway is that lots of laps put in. I mean, we saw cars off track, we saw cars have troubles, engine swaps, and power unit issues and things, but overall, the testing was that there was a lot of laps put in.
Absolutely, a lot of laps and a reveal of new technologies.
Yeah, you know the. After the overall story,
yeah,
probably the hottest story was this, the DAS system, the dual axis steering. The dual axis steering. And another simply brilliant because of its simplicity idea, right, from Mercedes.
It is. So if you haven't seen the DAS system in action, it's really, really cool. It's Mercedes at their best. And what happens is, you know, remember the telescopic steering wheel of the old 60s and early 70s Corvettes? You know, they had a little bit of tilt in and out. And what it does is there's actually an adjustment that deals with some of the toe end and of the front end alignment. And it allows them to make that adjustment from the driver's seat. So hence, it's not an automated adjustment.
Right.
Fitting into the rules, and it helps
maybe
them.
Probably
at the moment they're saying it is within the boundaries of the rules.
Yeah.
Now I'm waiting to see what's going to change from now to Australia if anybody else tries to copy this. But the idea is, and in fact, the video that you'll see on F1's YouTube about it is Lewis making the adjustment of the wheel. You see him actually move the steering wheel up and down the column just a little bit.
Yeah, almost like an airplane, you know, where they pull back on the stick, you know, or telescoping really is the...
Well, I was saying old Corvette, thinking you'd take the bait, but anyway. So that is exactly the way it's operated, and he does it right as he approaches the turn to get that extra stability through the turn and take advantage of that change in toe end on it. So
well,
dual axis is something else.
Yeah, he does it right before the turn, but of course... After the turn, I mean, because the whole idea is that you want the wheels straight on the straightaway, unless you want to build a little heat in the tires.
Right.
Then you can tow out, tow in or tow out would generate scrub, which would then generate heat. But the idea being that you can tow in for those quicker, sharper turn-ins, and no telling where, you know, throughout the corner, how much you want to go toe in or toe out or flat or straight, I'd call it.
Yeah, if you're watching Facebook, we've got the video clip up of this. And watch that steering wheel get pushed in just slightly.
Yeah.
And you'll see they're showing the toe in lines that you would use for, you know, truing up your suspension. You'll see those come together slightly at the end there. And it's really a remarkable approach. To me, I'm surprised, you know, okay, it's got to be manual. I'd love to dig into the engineering of this, managing it.
What if it's incredibly simple? Just a handful of U-joints on the steering. It's like, it could be.
A little barbed wire. Be all there.
A little duct tape. Yeah, that's really cool. And what I mean, it's cool, but also if Mercedes just dominates again, that's not cool. So I'll just flat out say that. I don't want that.
No, but I don't either.
But I have to, you got to love innovation, you know, around the rules. I mean, that's what we love about Formula One, technology and
these ideas.
Yeah.
We still haven't got an answer if anybody else has split the turbo apart and run it through the valley of the engines.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was something Mercedes came out with 4 years ago, 5 years ago, when we went turbo.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested in that.
Let's look at the laps and the times and everything else, because like I was saying before, there was a ton of laps put in. So I've got a count here on the computer here. So lap counts, Mercedes number one with 903 laps, Ferrari 844, McLaren 802, Racing Point 782, Red Bull 780. I mean, look how tight, 780, 782, all those. AlphaTauri.
That's now a lot of mileage.
Yep, 769, Renault 743, Williams 737, Alfa Romeo 735, and Haas 649. So top to bottom, Haas at the bottom at 649 and Mercedes at 903. Yeah, that's a decent spread. But, you know, it's not like we've had in years past where there's just been somebody had a nightmare testing week and didn't get any laps hardly.
Sure.
So it's really that was to me the overriding. And at lap counts per engine, Mercedes, you know, everybody by engine, 2,400 laps, 2,422 for Mercedes, 2,228 Ferrari, 1,549 Honda, 1,545 for Renault. And let's look at the lap times, because I think that'll be probably the next. Let's do it by driver, because that'll be the next most important.
To me, honestly, I don't think that's there yet. I think they have their spurts and they can knock out half a lap and get an idea of what they did on that app. I don't think the lap times are all that important.
Oh, yeah. Well, I it's testing. We all know that. We all know you can. There are so many different ways.
Such a complex poker game.
Yeah. I mean, who was it? I think I was watching F1 TV and they were doing an analysis of the different ways you can affect a lap time, from fuel loads. The obvious ones are fuel loads and tires, right? The three different the C4, C5, C4, C3 tire, whatever tire, those have dramatic differences between lap times, plus a full load versus a fuel versus a, you know, a qualifying lap load. It's like 7.5 seconds. So yes, the relevance of a lap time and in testing, but they do want to go out and get a race pace, and they want to get a qualifying lap or at least close. So there's some relevance to it, and we've looked in years past. So the fastest lap time of this year, Valtteri Bottas 1:15.732, then Verstappen, actually pretty big gap, 1:16.269, and then Daniel Ricciardo at Renault, which is you have to think about that a little bit of a surprise, 1:16.276, almost as good as Verstappen. Leclerc, then Lewis Hamilton, all in the 1:16s. Esteban Ocon, Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, Sebastian Vettel, George Russell, Daniel Kvyat, and Robert Kubica. All those are in the 1:16s. And then the Haas car, fastest Haas driver was Roman Grosjean at 1:17 flat, 1:17.037. And Gasly, Raikkonen, Stroll, Latifi, our rookie this year, Giovinazzi, Kevin Magnussen, Albon, and Norris. I mean, look, Lando Norris at the slowest. That's going to prove your point right there.
There it is. You know that's not right.
Yeah, that's not going to stay that way. But I mean, there's relevance there. But and you got to talk about them, because there's the big thing is those times. Let's compare them to last year, because I've got some times from last year on here too. Because let's see, fastest laps last year. 1:16.221, and so this year 1:15.732. So actually, if you do a curve and throw out a Valtteri Bottas lap, the 1:16.269 from Verstappen is almost identical to last year's 1:16.221, and that was by Ferrari. 1:16.224 last year by Mercedes. So yeah, not dramatically different. And you know what? Let's go full circle and say, yeah, Les, you're right. These lap times don't matter.
See, Take it back. I got something right.
Yeah, but and it is, you know, there's sandbagging and testing and all, you know, of all the different things. So,
well,
yeah.
Realize that, you know, we saw some strong runs in certain segments. And so they can just slice that data out and accumulate their pieces of the entire loop and the track and figure out, okay, what are we really capable of running if we take the best of each of these?
Take the sector one of this run and sector two of that run.
You know that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, as well as slice and dicing, you know, the aero effects, you know, the engine management, things of that nature. So they're tweaking around and playing with all different things. They may not even care that the aero is completely wrong at the moment while they're focusing on another piece. So,
yeah,
you know, realize they can slice and dice that data and pull out what they're actually testing at the moment.
And lap counts, which is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing from testing. So Lewis Hamilton had the most of the drivers. Kubica had the least because obviously he's not one of the full-time drivers. Kevin Magnussen had the least of the full-time drivers with 250. Lewis Hamilton had 466. And Grosjean did have 399. Let's see, down towards the bottom, Raikkonen had 300. So you guys can look all these up. I'm not going to go through every one of them. But so, you know, good lap times across the board. There was a couple of team ones that I wanted to talk about, though. Fastest laps per team. Remember last year, Ferrari, we thought, okay, the season's over. Ferrari's so much faster.
Right.
Or so fast. Looking at the numbers, they really weren't that much faster. But fastest laps, I mean, we touched on it. Valtteri Bottas, Verstappen, Leclerc for Ferrari. Let's see. Let's compare Leclerc to to Vettel. It was pretty close. Vettel was 116.8 and Leclerc 116.3. Yeah, so half a second. So, I mean, again, you can analyze these till you're blue in the face. So I think one of the things I really like to do is I like to look at the drivers, the way they're talking, you know, because it's kind of hard to hide the excitement, right?
Right.
And I think I'll go into one of the other biggest stories of testing, and that is the pink Mercedes. I mean, that thing really does look like Tracing Point. You've heard that nickname, right? The Racing Point car looks like it was cut and pasted from last year's Mercedes.
Right.
I mean, it is so close that, you know, apparently you can't use aero data, right? Mercedes can't give them their old, hey, here, use our old 3D CAD file. We're not using it this year. They can't do that. That's actually illegal, but you know, knowing what you can do. It's frowned upon, yeah. But, you know, imagine what you can do with good photography, which is what they've done. Because when you put those things side by side, they look identical. They really look identical.
So if you just load your own car with scanners and scan your competitors' cars during
testing, as you drive by,
you've kind of got a good head start on this.
Yeah, and so if you look, Racing Point was fast.
Yeah.
And some people are picking them to be as high as fourth this year and maybe even battling for podiums.
The best of the rest?
Yeah, I mean,
Formula 1.5?
That's what that Gene or Gunther?
Yeah, Gene said 1.5. That's what he was shooting for.
Yeah, I was here in Austin here in Austin when Gene called it Formula 1.5, the best of the rest. But that's exciting because Racing Point, hadn't really thought about over the offseason, like, what's Racing Point going to do? And they come out with this pink Mercedes that's going to be very competitive. You know, they've got, in fact, I had in my notes, they've got some of the, from last year's car, they've got, you know, they've got, let's see, what was it? I think some of the suspension parts uses the Mercedes rear end components from 2019. And so, you know, Mercedes power. So, I mean, this thing's going to be, it's going to be fast. It was already fast. I mean, are they really going to be the leaders in the midfield? I don't know.
You know what? I don't care. I just want to see it shaken up. I'd like to pay attention to more than, you know, have some real battles this year. It got better last year. I'll agree. But hopefully this is where we're going with this. I want to see the battle
yeah.
before we get to 21 and have all those changes thrown at it.
All right. Well, let's go in and take another quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go down. We're going to do our own guesses for the season. We're going to give you our 10 place to first place, each one of us. So. All right. Listen to Speed City. We're live in Austin. We'll be back after these messages.
When you're looking for traditional Tex-Mex, look no further than an Austin favorite, One in a Million. Serving original family recipes since 1980 and located just minutes from downtown at 2300 East Cesar Chavez, One in a Million has your Tex-Mex fix every day of the week from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Breakfast is served all day. Homemade migas, enchiladas, and menudo. And try the Don Juan Taco. Some say it's big enough to feed a family of four. One in a Million. Online at oneinamillion.com.
At Circle Brewing, the belief is less is more when it comes to brewing a better beer. You won't find any chemicals or additives. Only water, malt, hops, and yeast. And absolutely nothing else. Just simple ingredients and outstanding taste. It's German purity with Texas ingenuity. Find the brews on tap all over town, in your favorite store, or drop by the tap room at 2340 West Breaker Lane. Open Thursday and Friday nights and weekends. Log on to CircleBrewing.com. Circle Brewing Company. Born, bred, and brewed in Texas.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
So, you know, with Williams in 10th place, I think that's probably a pretty common prediction. And by the way, you know, these are just my predictions and you're going to give yours. But, I mean, they've been all over the board, the predictions that everybody I've seen. And, you know, everybody predict Ferrari last year. But I think that it's going to be you can ask 10 different people, 10 sure, different pundits, sure. and you're going to get 10 different answers. So I'm going to say Williams in 10th.
There you go.
And I've been going back and forth, and because I'm such a big fan, I'm not going to say Haas ninth. I'm going to say Alfa Romeo in ninth.
So far, we're in agreement. I'll tell you that much.
You know, the car, like what Kimi had, I think the fastest speed in all of testing, 334 kilometers an hour. So they've obviously got a low drag car. Could that mean they're going to have a tough time in certain tracks? And so I don't know, but I mean, my gut after watching the interviews and everything else, that I think that Haas is going to do better than Alfa Romeo, but I am going to say Haas in eighth. Okay. And I think that, you know, Haas didn't, they had the least amount of laps, right? I think they didn't show me that they had, you know, that it was going to be a disaster, but they didn't show me that it was going to be dramatically better. But, you know, Americans don't like to lose. Gene Haas does not like to lose.
No.
And if you've watched Drive to Survive, the second episode, you know he doesn't like to lose, and he'll tell Gunther that. So I'm going to say Haas in eighth, and then I'm going to say AlphaTauri, and it gets really hard here. From you know, in this midfield,
right.
It's really hard because, I mean, they claim they're aiming for fifth, right?
Right.
I mean, they certainly look, the pace and testing looks pretty good. Kvyat and Gasly, my two buddies that I got to spend time at NASA.
Yeah.
I smile because we got to hang out with those guys all day in NASA.
Well, the funny thing is your breakfast story.
Yeah. Well, we came down and Kvyat, we all kind of walked up this table at the same time and he'd, yeah, come on and sit down. He didn't know who we were. I mean, he knew we were somehow involved in the
right
in the motorsports NASA trip up there, but he was super nice, and he and Gazzy both were actually. Anyway, so the AlphaTauri car obviously uses they get some of the stuff from Red Bull, right? So they're going to be using the rear suspension and the gearbox from the 2019 Red Bull right. car. Their aero and their front suspension are unique to AlphaTauri, but who knows? They might get a Q3 on a good day, on a lucky day. So, and I'm going to say sixth. I'm going to go Renault. I was debating between Racing Point McLaren and Renault. I'm going to say sixth Renault. And that is solely based on the interviews. I know Daniel Ricciardo had the third fastest lap time, but
right.
some guy just a few minutes ago told me the laptops don't matter. So I'm going to go with what he said. And you know, we got to remember they're a works team. And I this is kind of a hard thing to say, but they didn't show me anything last year, right? You know, I the year before when Haas and Renault were battling for that fourth position, I expected Renault to be even better in 2019. So anyway, I'm going to say Renault 6. And then I'm going to say, I'm not going to get sucked into the pink Mercedes craze. I'm going to say that Racing Point is fifth. I'm going to say they're not going to be ahead of McLaren. I mean, by the way, the team under their own admission that it is an aerodynamic clone of last year's car. They admit that.
Right.
So, you know, so I love what they've done. The fact that, you know, you could almost compare what they've done to the way Haas came into F1, right? Using Ferrari parts. In a way, you can compare that because on one hand, you say, oh, man, that's cheating. You're copying last year's car. But anyway, it's within the rules. And anything that can make the midfield competitive, I think I like it. So I'm going to say, McLaren is going to be fourth. The car looked really stable. After watching all the testing, it looked balanced and stable. It was fast. They had some good lap times. And if they make the same amount of progress they'd made from the year before, then yeah, they will be the best of the rest, solidly the best of the rest. And the next one is really interesting too, because I'm saying for Mercedes is fastest. I think nobody's going to argue with that. But I'm going to say Ferrari in third. I'm going to say that Max and Red Bull beat Ferrari this season and come in second. I mean, they've got Max, number one, arguably the best driver in Formula One.
Right.
You know, you could certainly make that argument. So, but going back to Ferrari, during testing, were they sandbagging? I don't know. Nobody knows. They certainly had a more conservative pace last year. They talked about adding more downforce because, you know, they had such good straight line speed last right. year. So that's where I'm going. And of course, Mercedes fastest laps, most impressive long pace. And that new W11 looks to be the car to beat. So
you bet.
Well, that's my prediction.
There you go. Well, I'm going to start at the front. And just since we agree on a lot of things, Mercedes, yes. I'm going to go with you on Red Bull.
All right.
Ferrari, but I'll even go so far as to call out Charles Leclerc is going to be the leader for the Ferrari team after about the third race this year.
Okay. Well, I don't know if that's that much of a reach, but considering the errors.
I think he's going to do just fine.
Well, wait. Oh, let me pause right there. What do you think about the mental state of Sebastian Vettel? Because last year, what really jumps out at me, the biggest error that he made when he spun off track and blasted right back onto the track and almost ran into, sure. I forgot who it was, but you remember that? That just showed me his head is not in the right place.
Unless he's got a great mental state coach over the winter.
Maybe he's got Grosjean's psychiatrist.
I think Charles is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's done. I don't know, you know, maybe Sebastian took some ride on his classic motorcycle over the break. He's got a collection of them, and, you know, maybe he got his head on straight there.
He did look relaxed in the last few interviews, and I put a decent amount of weight on that. What else can you do in testing? But
sure.
All right, you're not going to agree with me all the way down, are you?
No. I actually think AlphaTauri will be next.
Alpha Centauri. Okay. Hey, that's a big difference. Yeah. Okay. I like it.
They're next up. Gasly, I don't think he's going to be the leader of the pack. I think Kvyat will be the leader of the pack.
You think
that
so?
Team.
Okay.
Yeah. After that, leaning towards Racing Point, they looked really good at testing. I got to, you know, go with that. As from there, I think we're going to go with McLaren next.
Okay. Okay.
Alfa Romeo.
So, yeah.
I think Antonio's
going to. Whoa, you're saying Alfa Romeo next?
Yep. I think Antonio's going to learn from Kimi, and I think that's going to wind up in points for Alfa Romeo.
So you're putting.
That's the ace in the hole.
Okay. So you're putting. Oh, okay. Keep going. Sorry.
That's all right. Race back. Haas, Williams. Who'd I miss?
Renault. That's what I was waiting for. I was going, where are you putting Renault?
Renault and Haas are going to beat up each other all season.
For where did that put them? And they battling are, for ninth?
Yep.
Wow. Daniel Ricciardo just, he's not happy with you on that prediction.
No. He's.
I like it.
Instead of giving me a high five this next year, he's going to punch me.
All right, man. I like it. Well, hey, it looks like we have a caller on the line. Dan. Hey, Dan. How's it going, man?
Hi there. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. Is this the Dan, the man that's been on the show before?
Yes, sir. How are you guys doing?
Welcome back. Happy 2020. Here we go.
Where are you, Dan? I forgot.
McChesney Park, Illinois.
Illinois.
About an hour west of Chicago.
I was going to say Chicago. Yeah.
Yeah, I popped on. My phone said you guys were on, so we just got back from my parents' house, and I saw you guys were talking about kind of the pecking order so far for this year.
Yeah, I mean, that's just our guesses. What are your guesses, man?
I think Mercedes is unequivocally out in front, but I keep wondering if they're going to get protested because that trick steering is totally a movable aerodynamic device. The only difference is that it's set by the driver as opposed to by aerodynamic voting or something like that. So I think some of the other teams may protest.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the aero side because we talked all about the alignment side of it, but you're right. It is absolutely an aero device.
Okay. But the argument, gosh, what was the item here a little while back? Was it the mirrors? Ferrari did the mirrors trick and got called and decided it was an aero device.
Yeah. It looked like an aero device.
But I think the argument we're going to hear from Mercedes is, no, it's not intended to be aero. It is intended to be alignment or suspension, and it's manually activated. Are you going to argue with me, Dan, or against me?
A little bit of both. I think, number one, it is a suspension adjustment, but it's a suspension adjustment that's designed to help the aero as well because it helps cleans up the airflow over the front tires. And, I mean, it's already been banned for 21. They already came out and banned it for that. So I think there's something may happen with that. Either that or everyone's going to race to it this year.
And
I could see in close races where, you know, Mercedes beats Ferrari or Red Bull by a small amount. I could see them protesting it and going with the steward. You know, they're getting the extra straight line speed because the wheels turn in, you know, totally straight as opposed to with that that camber on it. And, you know. You don't need all of them to go with it, but you might get one, and that's a big swing.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's Formula One. Thousandths of a second sometimes are separating, so any tiny fraction of anything can make a huge difference.
Well, and I mean, even with, you know, Renault's mass damper from 2005, they called that a movable aerodynamic device, and it wasn't. So that it's going to be interesting, because if I was one of the other teams, I'd roll the dice at least once. Because what do you have to lose? People go, you know, you're just trying to knock them for this investment. And you go, well, you know, they came up with a super clever system, no doubt, but they also created a movable aerodynamic device. And just because it happens to work with the suspension to help in the corners and things like that and help with tire wear, it totally is designed to clean up the airflow over the front of the car and move it down more efficiently as opposed to having that turbulent air. And so I think that's going to be... I can't think nobody protests that. And they can play nice about it now, but it's different when, you know, season and you know, Mercedes is just, I don't think it's going to make, you know, a million miles an hour of difference, but 2, 3, 4 miles an hour on straightaway.
Oh, that's big. Yeah.
I mean, teams spend, they spend $10 million trying to get 4 miles an hour on a straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that could be a big help. And I just can't see Ferrari or somebody rolling the dice once just to see if they can get, because the stewards don't always play by the books, just to get one.
Yeah.
And I think Ferrari and Red Bull especially, I mean, we all remember the double diffuser of 2000 and 2009. You know, it came down to, what do you define a hole as? And, you know, I mean, it was just these total minutiae that ended up getting them in trouble. And it went on most of the year. And I mean, Red Bull have had some interesting loopholes they've exploited over the years as well. So I just can't see even Red Bull rolling the dice and protesting it and just seeing what happened.
Well, hey, man, well, what about the rest? What do you think is Mercedes fastest? What do you think from there?
I think Ferrari are going to be, I don't know. I think Ferrari are sandbagging. I just can't believe that they're having problems. I mean, I know Vettel had an engine issue, which is fine in testing, but I can't feel like they're that bad off, because I think they're just taking a different approach this year. Because last year they were outright quick, and then you get to the season and they're having all these problems. I mean, I watched the video of Vettel's fastest time, I think from what, Thursday, Friday, whatever day that was, when Vettel chalked in.
Right.
And I mean, that car looked way more controlled than it did last year. Because last year, when you would get into the corner, in the straight line, the car was a rocket. And then you would get into the corners, and when you start getting the yaw on those wings, the different angles, as opposed to just a flat wing, then you would see, you know, them catch the car. It would understeer going in, and then it would oversteer, and they would just lose tons of time because they're just sawing at the wheel. And I didn't see any of that from Vettel, really, when he drove on that lap. And that struck me as one of those laps, like, I mean, it was on the soft, so they could have gone softer if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But it just struck me as that car was totally in control. And I think they're in a good spot. I don't think they're trying to draw headlines. I think they're going to let the focus be on Mercedes. But Red Bull looked good, too. They look really strong. And even McLaren is looking like they're clawing some. I think McLaren could be best of the rest. And I think Haas has kind of taken that. Haas and Renault have kind of always been battling for that in the last couple of years. But I think you're really looking Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull. And if that Red Bull Honda engine is really on song, maybe Ferrari and Red Bull switch.
Yeah.
But then I think you're really looking, I think McLaren are going to be strong. Renault aren't really tooting their own horn that much.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to be behind McLaren. And you could still have Renault and Haas fighting. Force India, I think, is going to have to move up because they basically copied and enhanced the 2019 Mercedes.
The pink
car.
Mercedes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, people are picking them to maybe even put, you know, have podiums. I mean, everybody's talking about that. But I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be that, you know, that fast.
Yeah, no, I think because all the other teams, it isn't like all the other teams stood still.
Yeah,
and I think
exactly.
Everybody found time. And they're already really talking this year about how records can fall. And, I mean, these cars have just been blindingly quick around Catalunya, which is a track they all know really well because they spend a lot of time there in testing, and then they race there. So, and, I mean, even Williams. I've watched a couple of videos of Williams compared to last year. I mean, the car looks way more smooth. So I don't know how much they'll move up, but I think there's some definite movement for them, which they're going to sorely need.
Yeah.
So I think the front is kind of remain the same. I feel like, I don't know, Honda's talking about getting out of it, which has to mean undoubtedly that their engine is going to be awesome because they have this awesome ability to get out when they shouldn't.
right when they're peaking.
It's like when you sell your house at like the lowest point in the market and take a bath on it. Honda have that. Honda should be realtors because they would, I mean, they sell at the absolute worst point. I mean, they got out. They, you know, tried to dump the team, and then Braun bought it for the symbolic dollar.
Took
the team to the world championship. And, I mean, they had, like, hardly any budget. I don't think they developed the car the first half of the season. They just took the car out of the box and just ran circles around everybody with it. I mean, it should have been bought by Audi because they ran four rings around everybody else.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
I was just saying, we're about out of time, Dan, but before we let you go, we got to go to break, but I want to ask you, how far into the Drive to Survive season two are you?
I actually haven't watched one episode.
Ah, well, you got to watch it, man. Wait.
I need to. I will do it, and then I will report back.
Oh, there you go.
All right. Well, Dan, we got to take a break. Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you calling. And hey, we're going to be doing our official pre Formula One season show next weekend. Jonathan will be back here, and we're going to be doing it on our national platform, as you've probably heard us. And we're getting ready for the whole season of pre and post Formula One shows. So tune in next week, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Dan. All right.
Have a good one, guys. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Let's go ahead and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little more. We're going to talk a little coronavirus because MotoGP made an announcement. And a little Porsche talk. And what else? One more thing. Oh, South by Southwest. We're going to talk about that, too.
That's Corona, isn't it?
No, but no, it's not about our. It's about our South by Southwest there panel. We're doing one. Speed City.
Oh, that one. Good.
Yeah.
No Corona.
All right. Be back after these messages.
Austin, Texas, baby.
Winding Road Racing is your first and best choice for all the essentials for a great weekend at the track. We're racers, and we love helping racers. With a full selection of racing gear in stock, get geared up with all the safety equipment needed to meet all the latest Snell, FIA, and SFI regulations. Outfit your car with a comprehensive lineup of racing necessities, and when you need to find a few more tents, turn to data acquisition systems from AIM Sports, V-Box, and others. Austin-based with shops in California, Georgia, and Kentucky, the source for all your racing needs. Winding Road Racing, windingroadracing.com.
As a rider, you know what you like. The power, the feel, the ride. When it comes to gear, you know what keeps you safe. Ducati Austin provides riders with the finest in day and easy leathers, the best the market offers. Visit Ducati Austin on Breaker Lane just east of I-35 and throw your leg over the most iconic sports bike ever built. Ducati. Even take it for a test ride or see what's been described as art on wheels from MV Agusta. You know what you like. See it at Ducati Austin. Online at DucatiAustin.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Austin's Talk, 1370.
Hi, I'm JD Beach, and you're listening to Speed City.
Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio, Speed City.
Huey Lewis bringing us back. Way to go, producer.
Yeah, hey, gonna send out get well wishes to Huey Lewis. I just heard a radio story that he's facing a pretty serious illness, may not be able to perform again.
Oh, wow. And I didn't know that. I was just enjoying the music.
Yeah, no, gonna miss that. I saw him for $8 here in Austin, Texas.
How old are you?
Be nice.
Says the man who's older than you.
Be nice.
Hey, I want to talk about...
Oh, God. Hey, I'm not as crazy as that guy.
I want to talk about South by Southwest for two reasons. One, we have been invited to do a panel. A few months ago, I submitted a panel to South by Southwest. I was so proud of myself. I was like, this is an awesome panel. They're going to choose us. And the way it works at South by Southwest to get chosen to do a panel, you create your panel and you write it all up, and then you actually have to promote your own panel and get voted up. Well, we got too dang busy.
Is this high school cheerleader competition?
Well,
or
no, it's actually a really good system. They call it a panel picker.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure this wasn't like Fan Boost or something.
Well, I mean, you get... I don't know the whole system, but I know that it's weighted by that.
Good.
Well, we didn't promote it at all. I don't think anybody voted for us at all. But I got a call from South by Southwest, and they said, we really liked what you wrote up, and we'd like you to do a panel anyway.
So it's official merits.
So
there.
That's right. So we're going to do a panel. And so they said, because I'd only put in me and Jonathan Green, and they said... The way this panel, the one they have us doing is called Select
15. There's no comedy relief needed.
There's no comedy.
Okay, right. I get it.
So what it is, it's an hour long, so it's four 15-minute sessions, And it's kind of like four TED Talks. Instead of a panel like we've done before where it's we all discuss between us, it's four individual talks. And so they said, can you put together four people? And I said, let me see what I can do. So I called up Dave O'Neill, the former former team manager for the Haas F1 team and the Manor team. And he said, heck yeah, because he lives here in Austin. He said, yeah, I'd love to do it. So then I called up Gareth Rees, who is a four-time champion with the Red Bull team, with the Sebastian Vettel team, who's an electric engineer with the Red Bull team. He was. And he's got a business here in Austin. It's called S's Racing, E-S-S-E-S, S's Racing. And so he's going to join us.
Nice.
And then I called up Edgar Ferrara, who is the sustainability of Circuit of the Americas.
And, you know, he is the only sustainability director in motorsports.
In motorsports, yeah. And,
or venues, yeah.
Yep. And then I said, well, we got to have one Speed City representative. And the topic that I had chosen that they loved, the topic was kind of a technology thing, because it is South by Southwest Interactive, which is mostly about technology. The overarching topic that we chose is how motorsports, Formula One technology trickles down to your everyday life, whether it's your everyday car or your everyday life in all different ways. As we know, you know, the McLaren engineering and Williams engineering, those guys have produced technology that's trickled down into all sorts of things. One of my favorites is how, you know, how they track luggage through an airport. Think about how that compares to tracking cars around a racetrack.
Nice. Telemetry
I'm going to be doing the fourth panel. And so that is going to be the Saturday. I think it's the Saturday right before Formula One kicks off. So what's that, the 14th or the 15th? So it's the 14th. And so we'll tweet out. If you're going to be at South by Southwest, all you got to do is look up Formula One. And we come right up. There's not that many topics. But I'm really excited, man, because I looked up and we've got hundreds of people that have put it on their list to go see. Well, so we can have a full audience.
I was explaining to somebody that people travel from all over the world for this.
Oh,
it's a huge thing.
You know what? We're out of time. I didn't realize we'd run out of time. But, hey, the big thing that we at least wanted to mention is that the coronavirus has canceled the MotoGP race in Qatar. We know that China Formula One has been rescheduled. So, or is going to be rescheduled at least. So we'll see what happened. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out. I want to congratulate Nick Cassidy. He topped the times in the rookie test at Formula E. And our buddy Kyle Kirkwood was also fifth in that. So congratulations to those guys. I want to talk about this some more, but we're out of time. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Tune in next week. We'll have Jonathan Green back in the studio talking all about the 2020 Formula One season. And we appreciate it, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks to our caller, Dan, and we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao, y'all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.